This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What's on your mind? Hi, friends. I'm Scott Hannon. Kevin Flynn is here. Brian Kronk from Collins & Kronk will be here at the bottom of the hour to talk through what has been, chaos in the stock market. Certainly been an interesting run, that's for sure. And this bank failure now, not one but two, is also thicken the plot just a bit. So we'll talk about all of that with Brian Kronk coming up here before the end of the program, sort of about the bottom of the hour. You know, we're told often that Americans support common sense gun control laws. You hear that all the time. Oh, everybody's for common sense gun control.
Yeah.
For common sense
we have
gun
them.
Control.
Just enforce them, maybe be good.
Yeah. But how they ask the questions is how they get to the result. But it's actually not true because pollsters ask the wrong questions or don't explain how the laws actually work. We're going to dig into that a little bit today with our friend Dr. John Lott, who is the president of Crime Prevention Research Center. Wrote about this in Newsweek, about a poll that when questions are asked correctly, accurately, shows that people do not support these Democratic gun control schemes. So we're going to dig into that a little bit.
How many times have I said that about polls? Who are you asking? What are you asking, and how are you asking it?
So important.
Charlie Kirk makes a great point about that, too. They can sway in the way they word the questions, the way they phrase the questions. It's polls are nonsense.
And Joe Biden today is set to announce some executive action on background checks for guns. Talk a little bit about that with Dr. Lott as well, so let's get to it on what's on your mind. Dr. John Lott, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Doing great. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you as well. So let's start with the scam that is polling on gun legislation.
Sure. I've been puzzled by this for a while because, as you know, gun control advocates will go and say, 95% or 97% of people support these background checks on all private transfers of guns. And yet when they put initiatives on the ballot, even if they outspend the other side by 20-1, they can lose these things. If it's really that high a percent and you really are outspending the other side even 20-1, and you get very favorable news coverage, it should be a cakewalk rather than losing. And they haven't put initiatives on the ballot for this for years now. Last time they tried to do that was 2016. And so the question is, what's going on there? So what we did was the Crime Prevention Research Center that I head hired McLaughlin and Associates to go and ask some questions. We started out asking a question that Gallup and others asked. We wanted to get it kind of word for word, what they used. And if you ask people, do you support or oppose requiring background checks on all gun sales and transfers? We found 86% supported it and 11% opposed it. But the problem, as you were mentioning, is that, they take these very complicated 30-page bills, and they condense it down into one sentence. And they miss a lot of what's going on with that. Because if you just take these surveys as they're given, everybody in all demographic groups seem to support it. So we asked two follow-up questions that kind of got to some of the more details in there. The first question was, these laws are called universal background checks. Let's say a stalker is threatening a female friend of yours late on a Saturday night. She asks you if she can borrow your handgun until she has a chance to buy one. She is trained and has no criminal record. If you loaned her the gun, this would make you a felon. Would you support or oppose this law? And now, rather than overwhelming support, people actually on net oppose these laws by 44 to 42% margin. Democrats and liberals and people living in urban areas and blacks still support it, but Republicans, moderates, married people, everybody living outside of urban areas and whites oppose it. So then we ask the second question. A Boy Scout troop is going for their skeet shooting badges. If you lend the Scoutmaster your shotguns, you would be committing a felony. Would you support or oppose this law? And now it's opposed 45% to 42% with similar demographic breakdown. And we also did the same thing with regard to red flag laws. You find overwhelming support for them. The typical question asked by other surveys and what we did was, do you support laws that allow guns to temporarily be confiscated by a judge from people considered to be a danger to themselves or others? And you find 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 support for it. The problem is that's already the law in the Dakotas as well as all 50 states. What red flag laws do is they make changes to that. And so we ask the follow-up question. How does your support change if you're told that there is no hearing prior to the guns being taken away and that there are no mental health care professionals involved? And in that case, rather than 2-to-1 support, you actually get about 2-to-1 opposition, with the biggest changes against the law being among Democrats and liberals, who were previously the strongest supporters of it. And then we asked one final question, and that was comparing the existing involuntary commitment laws, which is kind of what the first question was getting at, with the red flag laws. And we explained to people that involuntary commitment, if you're concerned about somebody, you contact the police. If the police, when they come, believe that there's a reasonable probability, which basically means about 20% probability, that the person is a danger to themselves or others, then they will take them in for an immediate mental health care evaluation. If the mental health care experts agree that the person is a danger to themselves or others, there will be an immediate hearing. If you can't afford a lawyer, one will be provided for you. And then if the judge agrees that there is a problem, he has a range of options. Is everything from saying, okay, if you voluntarily go see a mental health care professional, we'll have another hearing in a week or two. He can take away the person's driver's license. He can take away the person's gun. Or in the most extreme case, he can go and involuntarily commit the person. And when we ask people whether they support that versus red flag laws, they supported that by 40%. To 33% over red flag laws. But, you know, these other surveys are used constantly in legislative hearings. They're repeated constantly in the media. And they really give people a misimpression, I think, about, you know, where people stand. It makes people who oppose these laws feel isolated and kind of out of step with everybody else in the country.
What you're doing is honesty in polling. It's pretty basic. You just, it's an example, which I think is great. Asking the question fairly, and then an example, which you never get in your typical polling. What do you think the motive of the typical pollsters are?
Well, I think part of it is the pollsters just don't actually read the bills that they're being asked to poll on. I don't think they understand it. I've talked to some of the pollsters that are involved. And I think it's just, you know, they don't feel that they can go and read a 30-page complicated bill to people. And so they ask people that they trust, maybe, who knows, in the gun control movement, exactly how they should phrase it. And that's where they go from there. You know, I think they probably should kind of branch out and get alternative perspectives on these things. But that's what they do. And I think it had a real impact. I've testified over the last week in several states. And every single time these polls are brought up to explain why legislators should adopt these background checks or these red flag laws.
Fascinating. I want to talk to you a little bit about the executive action that Joe Biden took on background checks for guns when we come back. Short time out with our guest, Dr. John Lott, Crime Prevention Research Center president. Interesting analysis on the polling, and I guess it makes sense, but it's nice to hear it when it's actually been done to see the difference you get, which I think is great. More after this on What's On Your Mind. Don't go away.
At the University of Mary, we are truly military-friendly. Our special admissions team has years of real-world military experience, so we know just how to support your advancement every step of the way. We offer scholarships, credit for prior learning, and make sure you and your family receive all available military benefits. Classes start every 5 weeks. Discover University of Mary's true military-friendly community at umary.edu/military-services.
Veteran and locally owned since 1932, Action Movers is North Dakota's largest and oldest mover. Whether you're moving across the street or across country, Action Movers will make your move easy by handling every detail from start to finish. From packing, loading, transporting, storage, or even do-it-yourself with a Go Mini container delivered to your driveway, they truly have every solution for your move, accommodating all budgets. Get a moving quote today and mention Scott to save 10%. Call them at 701-566-5532 or visit actionmovers.com to set your appointment.
Did you know that the oil and natural gas industry touches every corner of North Dakota? It's true. Each year, the industry pays over $2 billion to the state of North Dakota. That money flows across the state, funding everything from education, roads and flood control projects, to social services and law enforcement. Learn more at ndpetroleumfoundation.org. North Dakota Oil and Natural Gas. Advancing the possibilities.
Hi, this is Kevin Piper with Piper's Auction Company. Piper's upcoming February auctions include 786 acres of exceptional cropland in Ward County, 310 acres of highly productive cropland in Renville County near Glenburn, 308 acres of excellent cropland in Trail County south of Mayville in Portland, 640 acres of highly productive cropland near Hope, North Dakota and Steele County, and 340 acres of exceptional cropland in Becker County, Minnesota. View these auctions and many more land and equipment auctions at Piper's.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
What's on your mind? 20 past the hour, brought to you by Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2. My friends at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2 have delivered a lot of hot springs saunas, the hot tubs, and the saunas by Finleo that have made this crazy winter a lot more tolerable. That's what I'll say. I'll just say it's a lot more tolerable, easier to handle, because we've had one heck of a winter. And you know, when the snow comes and the wind comes and you ease into that hot tub or into that sauna, all that melts away. You don't much care what's out there. And we have a little bit of winter left. So get on into Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables too. Get yourself a hot spring sauna, Finleo sauna. And the most important reason to do it, in addition to enjoying winter more, no matter what winter brings, your wellness. Your wellness, very important part. Hot spring spas and pool tables, too, and a whole lot of fun on the showroom floor, too, from the old house and pool tables and the great patio furniture, and they've got it all. So come on in and see them. West Fargo, right by Spitfire, in front of the Grand Cities Mall in Grand Forks, and on the expressway in front of Walmart in Bismarck. Continuing our chat with John Lott. And John is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. So Joe Biden is taking some executive action on background checks for guns. Let's talk about this. What do you think of what he's doing here?
Well, I mean, I guess the devil's going to be in the details. I mean, I know the 30,000-foot view of what he announced, and that is it's kind of funny that you and I were just talking about universal background checks and red flag laws, because that's what he's claiming. He's going to kind of push the country as close as he can to providing universal background checks. So those are background checks on the private transfers of guns, and also red flag laws. Apparently, they're going to try to put out of business people who may sell a few guns over the course of the year, who aren't technically been previously classified as gun dealers. He's going to require them to be classified as gun dealers. And they're not going to pay the large fees and whatever to go and do that, so they're just going to stop selling guns. So everybody will theoretically have to go through, if you're going to be selling guns, I don't know exactly how many he's going to change the classification to, would have to go through a licensed dealer. You know, here's the deal, and that is he's bringing this up in terms of the mass public shootings that occurred in California. I'll just mention, California already has all these laws and many more. Gun control advocates classify it as having the quote, the best gun control laws in the country. And yet they have had a much worse record in terms of mass public shootings than the rest of the country. Also, even if these laws, even if these universal background checks have been in effect for the whole country and had been perfectly enforced, there's not one mass public shooting this century that would have been stopped as a result of these laws. But they do, though, to the extent that they can get them in place, is they make it more costly for people to get guns. So let's say you and I lived in Washington, D.C., and I'm going to go and give you four guns. Or if I give you one gun, it costs $125 to do the background check. You know, you don't see the cost of the background check normally when you go to a licensed dealer, because it's not like a sales tax that gets added on top of it. It's in the price of the gun that's there. But let's say I'm going to give you four guns in D.C. Just give you an idea how they kind of go out of their way just to make it costly. You think one person giving one other person four guns, it's just the same person getting all of them, you should just have one background check. But no, they require a separate background check on each gun. And it was, rather than $125, which is bad enough, it would cost $500 to transfer it. You know, give me a logical reason why they would have it set up that way, except to make it costly to transfer the gun. There's no logical reason why you should have a separate background check when it's just one person getting all the guns. But it's just an example of what they're really at when they're trying to do this. But here's the deal. If I really wanted people, if I really believe these background checks reduce crime, and I'm skeptical, I don't really believe that. But let's say you believe that that's the case. You want to encourage people to go and do the background check. How is making people pay $125 just to do the background check encouraging people to obey the law that's there? You know, if you should make them a sense, if you want to tax something, that's the way to discourage it. The second thing is, if it does reduce crime, who should pay for it? As an economist, I would go and argue that the people who benefit from it should be the ones who pay for it. And it's not just the law-abiding individual who's going out of his way to obey the law that would supposedly benefit from lower crime. Everybody would. And so as an economist, I would say if everybody benefits, everybody should pay. You should pay for it out of general revenue. But gun control advocates will fight you tooth and nail on that change. And I think the reason why they do that is just, again, the point is their goal is just to make it costly for people to get guns. They can't point to this stopping these mass public shootings. And they set these things up in ways just to make it unnecessarily costly for people to go and do this. And, you know, the red flag laws, you know, the only thing that the judge can do when he gets a written complaint and sees it in front of him is to take away a person's guns. As I mentioned before, with the involuntary commitment laws that you have already on the books in all 50 states, the judge has a lot more options. He can take away a person's guns. He can take away their driver's license. He can do all sorts of other things to them. But let's say you really believe somebody is suicidal. Is taking away their gun the serious solution there? I mean, there's so many different ways that people can successfully commit suicide. The lethality rate from people hanging themselves or stepping in front of a train or jumping off a building or whatever has essentially the same lethality rate and effectiveness for committing suicide.
Yeah, makes sense.
And the notion that simply only taking away their guns will solve the problem. And about 99% of the time that red flag laws are used, they're used to stop suicide.
A senior administration official was quoted on this story saying we need universal background checks legislation to finish the job. So they're not done. That's for sure. We know that. Thank you for the time, John Lott. Always good to catch up with you. Appreciate the analysis. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
We're going to find out what's going on with the Silicon Valley Bank next.
The reviews are in. My coffee is a big hit. People absolutely love it. One of our listeners said, Scott, I've sampled a lot of coffee, but this one's different. It's rich, but also very smooth, low acidity. The finish is clean, and it has a pleasant aftertaste. Try some for yourself today. Go to mystore.com. Use the promo code Scott for up to 25% off. Your choices include whole bean, ground coffee pods, light roast, medium roast, dark roast, and a decaf. Again, in coffee pods, ground, or whole bean, your choice. And guess what? It's roasted and packed right here in the USA. It's guaranteed, like all the products at MyPillow. Mike Lindell invites you to try his new product, My Coffee, by going to mystore.com. Mystore.com. Use the promo code Scott or call this number, 800-506-9028. 800-506-9028 or mystore.com, promo code Scott, for the best coffee you've ever had, bar none.
USA News Update. The Bureau of Labor Statistics announced this morning the Consumer Price Index continued in the wrong direction in February. The price we pay for stuff gained another 0.4% last month, as inflation sits at 6% year to year. The Federal Reserve raises interest rates, the amount banks pay for money, to curb inflation. But now that multiple banks have completely failed, the question is, will the Feds continue to raise the rate? Christine McDaniel, the former Assistant Treasury Secretary on Fox Business, is asking the same question.
You know, there's that old saying that, you know, rates keep going up until something breaks. Well, here's the first thing that broke.
Governor Kathy Hochul is urging drivers to stay off the roads in portions of New York State that are expected to get slammed with a snowstorm today. She's also warning of widespread power outages.
This is not the light, fluffy, pretty Christmas snow. This is going to come down like a brick. And it is that weight that causes the problems.
Lance Pry, USA News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What's on your mind? Brought to you in part by our friends, PetroServe USA, where they have the home cooking and grab-and-go convenience today. And by home cooking, I mean, how about a hot beef sandwich? Does that sound like home cooking?
Yeah.
Chicken pot pie.
Yeah, that, I mean,
there's some home cooking.
Definition of comfort food.
Right there, Valley City off exit 292. In West Main Avenue, West Fargo, meatloaf, oh, seriously, or stuffed peppers, wonderful. Swedish meatballs at MP Avenue, Parmesan chicken on 45th, PetroServe USA, those Cafe USAs now, Euland, Glendon, Harwood, off exit, the Harwood exit off I-29. PetroServe USA, home cooking, grab-and-go convenience.
All right, Brian and I are hungry. You take this segment. We're going to go eat.
I'm ready to go.
There you go.
Brian Kronk is here, the money man from Collins and Kronk. And he's my money man. Maria and I call on Brian on all the tough decisions for good guidance. And we want to talk a little bit about what the heck is going on. The I was going to say capture, but the I guess we've captured Silicon Valley Bank, but we've first had it to have it fail, and Signature Bank added shortly after that. First of all, talk a little bit about these banks, because they're not normal banks, are they, Brian?
Well, they really aren't. I mean, they're normal banks in the sense that they take deposits and they make loans. But they're not normal banks the same way, you know, our local bank is, or even a J.P. Morgan, which takes a vast, you know, diversified variety of deposits and makes loans in all sorts of ways. Silicon Valley Bank in particular, right in Silicon Valley where all these startups and venture capital firms are and technology firms. And so they did some things that were very unique, which was attractive to that area. So they took on deposit, you know, shares of some of these pre-IPO companies. So they would take, you know, some ownership interest in some of these companies before they would go IPO, with the idea that their big payoff would come after the IPO actually came. And that's risk that I don't think we necessarily need to have our banks taking for us. And then a lot of the lending that they would do would be specifically to venture capital firms or to startup corporations that would, you know, normally have a tough time getting access to capital. This was the bank that you would go to get that. If you didn't have a long lending history or a very strong balance sheet, Silicon Valley Bank was your bank.
So, and Signature Bank's another one, right? They kind of got swept up in the same thing?
Yep, Signature had the same thing happen to them, so you can call it a run on the bank, but basically they fell short when it came to people wanting to take their money out of the bank. There wasn't enough assets there to give everybody their money back. I mean, it was just like It's a Wonderful Life. You just didn't have Jimmy Stewart there saying, hey, you know, don't take your money out. Your money's not here. It's in Joe's house down the road. You just didn't have that by, you know, that person intervening on the bank's behalf. But basically, it was the same thing. They had this run on the bank. Everybody was taking their money out. And why didn't Signature Bank in New York have the assets on hand? A lot of their assets were tied up in, again, shares of startups and things that were cryptocurrency related. So once again, crypto kind of rears its ugly head. And so we're seeing that they had lent or taken shares of, you know, a lot of these crypto exchanges or things of that nature, some of the mining companies that were mining for various types of crypto. And so, yeah, those things are not very liquid and they're not something they could sell easily. And then to add all of this, they may have been okay, but a lot of their assets were in things like treasury bonds, which should normally be fairly safe. But when you have the Federal Reserve doing what our Federal Reserve has done in this past 18 months, raising interest rates, you know, 5-6 times in a huge sequence too, that sends those treasury bills and treasury bonds down dramatically. So you have, you know, bonds that they would normally sell to raise that cash that they were trying to sell for 50, 60, 70 cents on the dollar. Sure, if they held them to maturity 20 years later, they would get their full, you know, value back. But right now, when they need to get that cash right now, they couldn't afford to sell them at 70 cents on the dollar.
I saw Kevin O'Leary, Shark Tank Kevin O'Leary, now of North Dakota fame,
right.
Now that he's here investing in North Dakota, bring up that very point on the Treasury, saying that this failure was bad management, and they were way over their skis on those Treasury bonds. You agree with that?
Very much so. So anybody knows. I mean, we did this for our clients right here locally. So our clients that have bond exposure, one of the things that we did as the Federal Reserve started raising interest rates is we hedged some of that exposure, and then we just took some of it off the table, knowing full well that as interest rates rise, those bonds would lose value. Most of the people or entities that own those types of bonds own them for their safety value. They're not buying them for their 2 or 3% interest rate coupon. They're buying them as a safety or stability measure. And when you have this kind of interest rate environment, that safety is out the window. I always say that little old lady who put all her money in treasury bonds because she just wanted it to be safe, you know, she was down anywhere from 20 to 30% this year. That's not what she signed up for. And so hopefully, you know, she had somebody like us that was saying, hey, we're going to make sure that that doesn't happen to you. These banks should be smart enough to do the exact same thing. There's ways to hedge against that, or frankly, just to not take, you know, maturities that far out on the maturity scale. They don't need to go for the highest paying interest when you're seeing the Fed do what they're doing.
There's a story today, NBC News reports, the headline, conservatives blame Silicon Valley Bank collapse on diversity and woke issues. And Senator Kevin Cramer is actually quoted in this as well. He didn't get too much into the woke and the diversity issues, but a number of people did here. Co-founder of Home Depot, Bernie Marcus, said on Fox News, these banks are badly run because everybody's focused on diversity and all of the woke issues. Josh Hawley, senator from Missouri, said he plans to introduce legislation to prevent consumers from paying any fees that might be raised on other banks to pay for the woke bailout. And Tucker Carlson said the bank was too focused on hiring pioneering, glass-ceiling, shattering women and yammering on about racial equity. What do you make of that claim?
Well, there's certainly a lot there to unpack, and I agree with most of that. As far as, you know, the wokeness itself being what, you know, pulled the rug out from under these banks, I wouldn't say that that's the case. I mean, this is just a pure example of these banks not managing their risk. And that, to me, is a bigger concern because 15 years ago, we had the financial crisis where banks weren't managing their risk. They almost brought down the complete capital structure of our country and neighboring countries as well that we do business with. And it tells you that 15 years later, the government still has not put forth the kinds of rules to make these banks manage the risk that we need to. Now, I think the argument for wokeism comes in the fact that these banks were focused on everything else but risk. So, yeah, when they're focused on making sure they have the proper diversity hires or that they're only doing business with green companies or whatever their ESG mandates might tell them, when they're all focused on those types of things first, and guess what? Risk takes a back burner to that. That's when you run into these kinds of problems. First and foremost, banks need to be liquid. They need to make sure that they're, you know, lending to the proper entities, and they need to be managing their risks. Banks are all about managing risk.
Larry Summers, the former Treasury Secretary, talking about the bailout now, said there was an absolute need to restore confidence, both to protect against runs against many banks across the country and to assure that people could get their payroll checks, businesses could continue to function in Silicon Valley. Senator Cramer said talk of more regulation, which some are talking about now, worries him, called the government's rescue measures too much too fast, argued that Biden set a dangerous precedent by backstopping 100% of uninsured deposits, sending a signal to all banks that bad behavior will be rewarded. The collapse is clearly a liquidity crisis and not a capital crisis and should have been identified before the panic set in. Now Biden will likely use this failure to increase regulations on small banks, which will only incentivize further consolidation. What do you make of that?
Well, he's right in so many ways. So first and foremost, I want to say that our government did the exact right thing to avoid another financial crisis. So you don't hear me say a lot of positive things about Biden, but what their administration came out and said, hey, we got this. Don't worry. We're not going to let this spread. This will not be a domino effect. And the words that he used were very similar to what Ben Bernanke used during the financial crisis. He said that basically we will do whatever it takes to make sure that there is enough liquidity and solvency in the system so that we don't have more of these collapses. That was what Wall Street needed to hear. So think about things like Roku having over 25% of their cash in that bank. If they would let that bank fail and all the depositors with it, that's going to spiral down Roku and a whole bunch of other companies who are in a similar role like that. And right now, the economy is so fragile with the Fed raising rates and things like that, that we can't afford to have this spread to other sectors or to other banks either. So I'll say I think the administration and the FDIC did the right thing, but does that raise a crazy precedent that, hey, we're going to insure all of the uninsured money too and reward the people who weren't managing their risk? Yeah, that's definitely the problem, but I'll say we're already doing that. The fact that they still have not enforced or made rules so that banks cannot take these kinds of risks, that's basically been going on for the last 15 years. We rewarded it 15 years ago. I didn't see any of these bank CEOs getting a perp walk or anything like that when they almost trashed our economy. And I don't think we're going to see it this time either. And that's until we see some real consequences for this types of behavior, I think it's just going to continue.
So what about additional regulation and falling off on smaller banks? Is that a concern for the market?
Well, I don't know that it's a concern. In fact, I think it's necessary. So all of this type of behavior really started back in 1997 when Bill Clinton and Sandy Weill got together and they removed what we call the Glass-Steagall Act. So this is the kind of stuff that was going on in banking during the Great Depression. A whole lot of banks went under because they were taking unnecessary risk. And after the Great Depression, the government had put forth an act called the Glass-Steagall Act, which basically said banks are not allowed to take this type of risk. It separated banking from insurance companies from investment companies. And it kept them separate for several years until 1997 when that act was repealed. Once that happened, you saw this huge consolidation of banks and insurance companies buying up investment companies and merging all that stuff together. And that's where this messiness and this risk-taking began. You know, before that, you didn't have banks taking those kinds of risks. And I think they are so vital to what goes on in our economy that we can't have them sticking their neck out there, and we can't just keep bailing them out either. So I'd be a big proponent for bringing back something like the Glass-Steagall Act and keeping those entities separate.
Small banks, that concern you at all? I mean, that's sort of the lifeblood of communities like Fargo, for instance.
Very much so. So small banks, I love them, but, you know, we would consider some of these like Silicon Valley or Signature kind of, you know, small, specialized, regional type banks. So we do have to be careful. And right now you're seeing a lot of people pulling money out of the smaller banks, putting them into what they consider the bigger, more stable banks. I think the key is to know your banker and to know, you know, how they manage and think about risk.
More of our conversation with Brian Kronk from Collins & Kronk. Question now, after seeing what we've seen, what does it mean for your money? What does it mean for the market? We'll talk about that when we come back. Don't go away.
Discover Kinder Care. Kinder Care is assisted living homes located in West Fargo, offering adult daycare services, companion care, and assisted living. All the services you need available at Kinder Care, plus home-cooked meals, 24-hour security, personal care, and more, all in a cozy family environment located on 3 acres of land in a scenic, quiet country setting in West Fargo. KinderCareFargo.com or call 701-261-3246.
We love the American flag. That's why at ndflagpoleguy.com, that's all we do. We install flagpoles. We repair flagpoles. We wash flags. We replace flags. We want to install and take care of your flag. This is Jim. I'm ndflagpoleguy.com, inviting you to proudly display your love for America by flying Old Glory at your home of business. Call 701-571-FLAG or go to ndflagpoleguy.com. Thank you.
From field to fuel. A story from the North Dakota Ethanol Council. Did you know North Dakota's ethanol industry is a leader in carbon capture? Ethanol is pioneering carbon capture. While the world talks about it, ethanol is doing it. Here, now, reducing the carbon footprint. North Dakota's corn producers are increasingly efficient stewards of the land, producing more on the same land with less inputs. In fact, yields have increased 25% to 42% in the last 20 years using similar levels of inputs. Corn ethanol is our nation's best way to decarbonize transportation today. And corn ethanol has a significantly smaller carbon footprint than gasoline. And it's getting smaller. Find out more at ndethanol.org. ndethanol.org. A message from the North Dakota Ethanol Council.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Before the top of the hour, our final segment with Brian Kronk from Collins & Kronk. great team of folks, Collins and Cronk, that can really help you make some decisions and have your back when things like this happen. And you see what's happening. We talked about the bond market earlier. It is just very important to have pros that have been there, done that. Brian, on site right here, trading, managing the money, extremely important. And, of course, that plan, the famous plan. You got to have a plan, right, Brian?
Absolutely. And people actually stop me on the street now, Scott, and they know what to say. They said, I'm sticking to my plan.
Sticking to that plan.
So good to hear.
Yeah, exactly right. That's the magic of sticking to the plan. And you encourage people to come down and have a conversation and walk through that plan and get it rolling and stick to it, right?
That's one of the things that really separates us. We make sure that we're not just focused on the market today, or we're not just focused on your investment portfolio, but we really want to look at how does all of this stuff affect your life. You know, even if we had the best performing in the portfolio in the world and we didn't make sure that you could retire or do the other things or leave money to your grandkids the way you want to, we would have failed you. So we want to make sure we've got a plan in place that doesn't have anything to do with the market today, that basically helps answer those lifelong questions for you.
So let's talk a little bit about, and by the way, you can call to set that up with Collins and Cronk, collinsandcronk.com, Collins with a C, obviously, for Jeff Collins, and Brian Cronk is with a K. So collinsandcronk.com, or call 235-0119, 235-0119. Wanted to get that in. We usually run out of time.
So we got to get
the important stuff in here at 235-0119. What does all this mean, this Signature Bank failure, your Silicon Valley Bank failure? What does it mean for the average investor?
Well, it's important that we look at that because, you know, you've got banks failing. It's negative. The stock market sold off huge 2 days in a row. It could have been a repeat of what we saw 15 years ago with the financial crisis. And so, yeah, it's definitely something to pay attention to. And that's why you saw the fear index rise dramatically. People were afraid and started moving money to the sidelines. We always kind of look through that and say, okay, what is really going on here? Is this a systemic problem or just a couple of buildings or what's going on there? And we realize that, hey, this is something that we don't have to panic about. We can stick to our plan again on both the investment and the life side and carry our people through this. So I don't think this is even needs to be more than a hiccup for most investors.
Brian, it would seem to me that the market, you know, as broad and big as it is, really wouldn't look at a couple of banks failing. I mean, if they're reacting, they're looking at these rate hikes. They're looking past these two failures. They're looking at the effects of rate hikes, the effect of the inflation, the effect on the consumer. I mean, they've got to be, aren't they? It's more than just these two banks.
Well, it's interesting. So for about 5 days, all it's been is these two banks. You
right.
haven't heard anybody talking
exactly.
about inflation or rate hikes or any of those things. One thing this has done, Kevin, is it's changed the narrative just slightly. If the Fed, they say the Fed will usually raise rates until they break something. Well, they just broke something. They've
yeah.
stressed out the financial sector. And so we've got banks that are struggling. So that's going to get them, if not to actually pause raising interest rates, at least to pause and think about what they're doing and the rate that they're doing that. And that's where we went from having a sell-off and people thinking, oh no, here we go, financial crisis 2.0, to them saying, hey, maybe the Fed is actually going to pause. This could be good news for inflation, good news for the stock market, and that's why the last 2 days we have some big up days. So it's actually shifted that narrative just in the opposite direction that what we would have had, say, a week ago.
Makes sense.
We're chatting with Brian Cronk from Collins and Cronk. What do you make of the market right now? Obviously, it has not been. By the way, if Joe Biden were a Republican, every day we'd hear about the Biden stock market, right? And it would be how bad it is. I mean, where it was under Trump to where it is now is unbelievable. But you see that as what, a buying opportunity?
So, yeah, most investors would love to go back to the market we had under Trump. Things were going higher. We had an economy that was roaring. And right now we have literally the opposite. You know, almost anybody who's put new money in the last couple of years is underwater. And so, yeah, it's a very weak and tepid market. And the right now of it, what I'd like to see is everything just settle down. And we can say that to investors. We can say that to the market. You know, when you have the market making 2% and 3%, you know, moves back and forth in the middle of the night while it's closed during the overnight trading, and then it opens up in the morning, is anybody's guess. And we're seeing these volatile gaps in both directions. That's not the kind of environment that it's fun to be a trader in or an investor or anything. So we definitely need things to settle down. And that's where I think, again, the administration and the SEC, as well as the FDIC, are doing the right thing just to try to calm things. And that's why I don't think you're going to see, you know, the Federal Reserve raise rates another notch. I think they're going to take a breather here.
You do.
I really do. One of the things, you know, they're so concerned about inflation. One of the most deflationary things that there is bank failures. It's kind of funny how that works. And so, yeah, if we are looking for one thing to bring down inflation, it's softness in that financial sector. And we've got that right now.
Fascinating. Brian, thanks as always. Appreciate the insight and analysis. And again, encourage folks to give you a call and set up an appointment to come up with a plan and then stick to that plan, because these things are going to happen, and bank failures are going to happen. There's going to be bumps along the road, and you want pros on the job. 2350119, CollinsandCronk.com. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me.
We'll see you tomorrow, live from Watford City, North Dakota, brought to you by MyPillow. $25 for those great deals now, promo code Scott on the slippers.
When joint pain controls the way you move, it holds you back. The Sanford Orthopedics and Sports Medicine team can help with therapy and treatment options that focus on finding your way forward without pain. If you're ready to manage your symptoms or plan for a future total joint replacement, we're committed to providing you care in a healthy and safe environment. Call 701-323-8920 to schedule a same-day appointment with the Sanford Orthopedics and Sports Medicine team in Bismarck.
Information comes flying at you, and the mumbo-jumbo is so confusing. When it comes to Medicare, you are not alone. Free and unbiased assistance is available to North Dakotans through the State Health Insurance Counseling Program. Need help understanding all the forms? How about your Medicare coverage options? Maybe you need to file an appeal. Whatever it is, we're here to help. To speak with a counselor, call 888-575-6611 or visit insurance.nd.gov. This ad paid for by the North Dakota Insurance Department with funds from the Administration for Community Living.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.